welcome back to our latest episode of West Coast XC. I'm your host, Ken Martinez. If you have a chance, if you could subscribe to our YouTube channel, that'd be awesome. And if you could also follow us on Apple Podcast or Spotify, we'd really appreciate you doing that. In this week's episode, I'm going to talk to Albert Kawana. He's the head coach at Crystal Springs Uplands. And I'll be headed to Stanford to take pictures. And he knows a lot about the Bay Area because he's also the editor-in-chief of the Cross Country Express. And so he just knows his stuff. And so it'll be fun. It'll be fun to talk to him about some of the runners that are coming to the meet at Stanford. Mostly Bay Area kids, but there's some Nevada and Southern California kids coming up also. This weekend, I was at the 10 out in San Juan Capistrano. Great event. Lots of fantastic running. First of all, I want to talk about the 10, the 10,000. The reason people show up from all over the world to run the 10. The weather is fantastic. The wind isn't blowing. It's great. A great place to race. Great competition. They have the lights that go around the track. And their goal is to make the world standard time. For women, it's 30 minutes, 20 seconds. And the men, it's 27 flat. On the women's side, we had Elise Cranny of Nike. And she won the event. And she won it in a time of 30:36, and Wani Kaladi of Under Armour Dark Sky finished second at 30:38. They were running together. Unfortunately, not the standard. The standard for the 10,000 to go to Tokyo is incredibly hard, 30:20. And so they did make it. They were disappointed, I'm sure, about that. And so they'll try again. And then on the men's side, there are a number of athletes that made it at the standard of 27 minutes. We had a 20-year-old from New Mexico. Ishmael Kipkure of New Mexico won the race in 26:52.1. His teammate, Hapton Samuel of New Mexico, finished second at 26:51.06. Adrian Wilchut of Hoka Nazilite also made the time. So did Telehan Hollibekele of On Running and Graham Blanks of New Balance all ran under 27. We interviewed Ahmed Muhammad last week, and he ran 27:03, just missed the time. That's too bad. It's a long ways to go, but that's a really great time, 27:03. I want to say something extra about Telehan Hollibekele. Took pictures of the women's race. I went inside this hut that they have there, and I downloaded photos of the women's race. And then I came out, and I came out like maybe a lap and a half into the race. And I didn't realize that Bekele missed the start of the race with another runner too, Bedard. I was told by other photographers they kind of delayed the race for a little bit, and he took off and went to use the restroom, and then saw them back on the line. If you go and watch it on YouTube, the video of it, you'll see two people running way back. I think he was like 120 meters behind the start, and he still made the standard. It was unbelievable. Now, I live in Oregon, and one of the premier programs is Crater High School. And this winter, we've seen Josiah Tostenson and Tavon Kitchen run some incredible times. And they did it again. They ran the 1500 with the pros, and they both ran and amazing times. Josiah ran 3:40.06. That's the fastest time in Oregon history, high school history. Tavon Kitchen ran 3:41.62. Both Josiah and Tavon now have the 8th and 9th fastest 1500 meter time all time. In the high school races, you had Ann Elise Packard from hometown J. Sarah. She won in meet record time of 2:07.89. And then Griffin Cushion of Tesora ran 1:52.82 and barely beat Juan Juarez of Liberty. Very close race, very exciting race. Jordan Lieberman of Marietta Valley was way out in front in the 1600. And then as the finish line was approaching, Annie Iverson of Dana Hills almost caught her, but Jordan won at 4:59.8, and Annie Iverson ran 4:51.00, like 0.02 of a second. That's pretty close. Grant Miller ran an incredible last lap and blew out the field to win the 1600. Grant Miller of Lucerna. He ran 4:08.30, and Riley Blade ran the second fastest time in the U.S. in this season in the 3200. Riley Blade of Santiago Corona ran 10 flat, 0.56. She came across the line. I'm just looking through my camera, not really, you know, and everybody went, oh, and I didn't know what that meant. And I looked at the time. You know, you want to break those kind of barriers. Landon Pretree broke a barrier that's hard to break, which is the 9-minute barrier, and ran 8:58.52, and had a pretty large lead. in Renwell. And so those are some of the highlights that I saw. You can also download the photos. They're available for you if you'd like to on our website at www.westcoastxc.com, and also on our bio and our Instagram account. You can find all the photos from the 10 and download them. I also went to the Simi Valley Invitational. I want you to know that I'm a proud pioneer. I went to Simi Valley High School, and so I got to go back on my home track, and I took some pictures of the 1600 Friday night too. So if you were at that meet, you got pictures for you also. But let's talk to Albert Kawana and learn more about what's happening at Stanford. We want to welcome Albert Kawana from Crystal Springs Uplands, the cross country and track coach there and editor-in-chief of the Cross Country Express. Albert, thanks for coming on.
All right. Thank you very much for inviting me.
Yeah, I have Albert on here because he is an expert of Bay Area high school cross country and track. And I'll be heading to the Stanford Invitational this weekend. And so I want to ask him questions about the Stanford Invitational. But before I do that, Albert, if you don't mind, I want to tell you that I was a longtime high school cross country coach for like 30 years. And when I was a high school kid, I used to envision being a state champion. You know, I could envision it. Then when I became a coach, I would envision what it would be like to be a coach of a state championship team. Never, the closest they ever came was in my fantasies when I would, you know, kind of think about it. But in one, like maybe in 366 days, you did it four times. In 2022, the girls and boys won the Division V state championship. And a year later, you did it again. And that's amazing. It's a coach's dream, at least in my dream, at least. What was that like?
I mean, you mentioned that you've seen like a few interviews, and it was crazy. I was interviewed after we won in 2022, and we'd never had a state champion at our school, and in one day we had three state champions, because we had the individual state champion for the girls, and then the girls won, and then the boys also won. So I started coaching in 2008. I started coaching a high school team in 2008, and the first year the girls got eight, and that was without our number one runner, and I think we would have podiumed. So ever since then, I was just trying to get onto the podium. Just, you know, we've had individuals make the podium, but team wise, the boys had finished, I think, like, you know, a couple of sixth. I think we finished, we had a fifth. And then finally, like 4 years ago, we got a third, and we just barely made it. We beat, I think, the fourth place team by 2 points. And then just had an amazing day. And I mean, we, you know, Menlo this year had an amazing season. Their team qualified for NXN. And so 3 years ago, we ended up, I think we beat them by 4 points, and the girls won by 2 points. I mean, it was unreal. It was like, I think in 2015, we won two CCS titles on two tiebreakers. So I just remember the year before, 4 years ago when we got on the podium. I don't know if you've been to the state meet and you see the results, and they're live, and you see like sometimes you're in third and then you move up to second, and then you drop down to fourth depending on the runners coming in. And we were like on third, and then we dropped to fourth, and I'm just like, just one time, just let us get on the podium one time. And we ended up getting third. And I mean, you interviewed Chris Williams last week, and this was interesting. I remember we got a third, and I saw Chris, and I said, man, we just snuck onto the podium. You know, he goes, dude, you don't sneak onto the podium, you know, like you earn it. And so then fast forward to 2022, you know, Kaya was really talented, and she ended up winning the individual title. And the girls ended up winning by 2 points. And our fifth girl was at the World Cup, and she came back early, and she's our school record holder in the 100 meters now. And so she ended up passing a girl at the finish line. And I don't know. I mean, we made up a lot of ground in the last mile. And what I remember was the scores were showing up. And for a while it had university first and us in second. And I went over to the university coach. I'm really good friends with her. And I said, hey, congratulations. We're just elated. We got second. And then all of a sudden we end up being the winners. And so that was a big surprise. I think we weren't even ranked in the top 10. I mentioned to some people like, hey, I think we should be ranked in the top 10 at least. And then the boys, I mean, we had a really strong team, but I knew Menlo would be a big challenge for us. And we ended up, I think it was like 73, 77. We ran really well. And so I mean, after it was like it's just hard to believe.
And then you have to like, so the girls win first, then the boys
Yeah.
win.
Yeah.
You're like,
So
hey, the girls won, but then didn't you have to turn around and root for
yeah. Yeah, it was like, okay, the girls won. It's like, okay, now we gotta, let's see what the boys can do. And after, I think after it's just a relief, it's just like there's this point where it's like, oh my God, I can't believe that just happened. And then the next year, I mean, we had we graduated a couple of guys, we graduated a very good runner. So we came back and the girls, we graduated Kaya the year before, we lose an individual state champion. And somehow, so then the following year, the boys went first, and we ended up actually winning pretty handily. I think we won by 19 points, so that was pretty solid. And then the girls, it turned into we ended up winning by a tiebreaker,
Wow.
and it was I mean, we had a teacher at our school who was at our school over 40 years, and after we won the two state championships, he's like, you should retire, just go out on
Go on
top.
top, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm like, gee, that sounds like a good idea. And then we win it again, and it was just like even more hard to believe. And somebody told me that I think only Great Oak and us have won boys and girls back to back in California. They did it 5 times, I think.
Yeah.
We did it twice, and yeah, it was hard. It was a like I said, it was like I think one of the interviews I go, nobody pinch me. I don't want to wake up.
The Division Five in California is ultra competitive. You
Yeah.
mentioned Menlo made it to NXN, but then also the kids individually were running some of the fastest times ever
Oh,
on the
yeah.
course. I mean, the kids in the Division Five. They
Yeah.
move. They're pretty good. And you talk about university high school and the girls, they
Sure.
won, what, nine championships in a row. So there's really some
Yeah,
good schools.
it's so we yeah, it's super competitive. I mean, individually, like my runner finished in third place this year, and two of the runners that finished ahead of him, Landon and I'm forgetting the name of the guy that won, but
Ian
I mean, they
Turk,
ran,
right?
yeah, Ian Turk, and they ran two of the fastest time of the day, like
Right.
regardless of any division, and Division Five. And then this year, it was the same thing for the year before. The girls, this was the most competitive and deepest. Like, obviously, kids are running faster now, but the competition in Division Five has been really competitive. And
Right.
it's just there's when they went from 500 to 600, it just added more teams into the division, and you have some very good programs. Like you mentioned, you got University, and then you got Menlo, and we've been pretty competitive, and Yosemite has done really well. And there's been other programs that have also done pretty well. So yeah, it's not, like this little dinky division, and
Right.
also ran like the top teams in Division Five can run with a lot of teams in bigger divisions.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the boys, I think Division Five might have been the last race of the in
Yeah, we were
2024. And I was
we were like pretty early the year before, and yeah, this year we were I think two of the last four races, and I believe the boys did go last.
Wow. Well, you also have a website called the Cross Country Express. Can you explain to our listeners and viewers what is the Cross Country Express? And also tell us how you got involved with that.
Right. So the way I believe I started in 2006, and at the time I was, let's see, I was coaching high school track, and I think I was still coaching the middle school cross country team at the time, and we were actually still in the North Coast section. So we used to be in the North Coast section, and we used to be in the same league as University and Leeuwarden and Het Royse and all these schools, and I don't know how this came about, but they needed somebody to do the North Coast section rankings before the cross country meet. So I'm like, I'll do it, and I needed somewhere to put it. So I make this blog, and I post the NCS rankings, and that's how it kind of got started. And then what I was thinking was, a lot of people that cover the sport in California, they're primarily in Southern California. So they were, I'm not saying it's not they're biased, it's just that's who they're mostly familiar with. So I said, hey, I can highlight some of these really good runners that are in North California. So I kind of became like thinking about the six sections that are in Northern California. I did coaches interview. I did athlete interviews, and it was great for me because I would send questions to these really good coaches, really good kids, and then get their replies, and like, how did you get involved in running? Like, what's your training week look like? Like, who motivated you? Who were your mentors? For a coach, and who were the like people that really inspired you if you're a runner. So it was kind of like Christmas. Like every time I would send out these questions, and they would return. It's like, wow, this is amazing. And then I posted. So I have like
You're
hundreds
saying
of
it's like a coach's clinic for you.
it was terrific. And plus it was just great just getting in touch with a lot of different people. And the funny thing was, I mean, I've been coaching for a long time, and sometimes I'd be at a meet, and they'd be like, oh, you're the website guy. And I'm like, well, I think I'll do okay coaching.
So,
So,
can you say the URL for those
oh, it,
listening?
it's just, it's crosscountryexpress.com. And I was
Not
trying to
XC,
figure out,
but Cross Country Express.
yeah.
Okay.
And I was trying to figure out how, I know there was some sort of cross country express. I think there was a guy back east that had something similar. It was kind of like a newsletter thing. And I'm guessing that's how I kind of came up with the name. And it's one of those things, you come up with a name, and then you just roll with it. And so that's how the blog got started. And for a while I used to just post something every day. Now I'll link to results, or if
Right.
sometimes people will send me something and there's a comment section.
I love your site. This fall, the Crystal Springs course record was broken twice, and it was set by is it Matt Kingery?
Mitch Kingry
Mitch
was
Kingery, right? That
yeah.
sounded really familiar. So I Googled Mitch Kingery. Like
Oh
I'm an
yeah.
older guy, and I ran in college in California and ran high school. So that name was like, I've heard that name
Oh
before.
yeah.
So when I Googled it, it went to your website.
Yeah.
You had
Yeah,
articles
it's
about him.
it, yeah, I mean, Mitch Kingry, I think for a long time he held the high school marathon record. I think he ran like a 223 marathon as a
Yes.
sophomore in high
I read
school.
that in your website. I was like,
Yeah.
wow.
Yeah, and he and I mean, you see the times kids are running now, like Mitch Kingry. For many, many years there was kids trying to break that record, and I think what happened was, the way the course runs, if you go after that record, you'll get punished like later in the
Right.
race. So kids would go out so fast, and I've seen lots of kids try to go break the record and then come up short. And then all of a sudden this year, we had three kids like surpass. I think it may have been three or four that surpassed his record, and just kids are running really fast now. And I mean, you're around the sport. I mean, you see, just like, and like what you do with your website. I mean, kids now, when I ran in high school, when you ran in high school, I think we looked at the league results, and it was like, you're trying to be good in your league. And now the kids are, they're looking at the whole nation.
Right.
know,
Nope. Right.
or they hear about this kid from New Zealand that just broke 4 minutes in the mile,
Correct.
and so it's like it's just the level of competition is way higher now. It's like, you know, it used to be like if you broke 9 minutes in the 3200, you know, you're a big deal. Now it's like, okay, you broke it. You know, when are you going to break 850? When are you going to break
Right.
840?
Yeah, I
And
always tell people because I ran in high school in California in the early 80s, and I would say, well, that was fast back then. You know,
yeah.
it's like, and people don't, you know, don't understand anymore. And that, and it was so wild. Like, you know, I went to Jeff Nelson was the person that we tried
Oh,
to,
yeah.
that was the person. And I'm sure he's been left behind, you know,
Yeah.
it's, but it
Well,
took a while, though. It was like 30
yeah.
years his name was there, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think so. When I was in high school, when I was a freshman, Matt Giusto was at San Mateo High School.
Right.
So I'm sure he lapped me a few times. You know, I was like a little pipsqueak freshman. And so Matt Giusto, and we had like Leslie Maxey and Wendy Brown. Like Wendy Brown won the California State Meet by herself.
Wow.
And Leslie Maxey almost made the Olympic team in the 400 hurdles as a junior in high school. So I'm in this little tiny league, and we have like three future Olympians. And so those guys, you know, like you're talking about Jeff Nelson, like Matt Giusto. I mean, what they ran back then, if they were running now, they would be just as competitive, and they would
Absolutely.
be running much faster. So I mean, you have to like really respect what those guys did in the past. And I'm sure you can name a lot of runners who maybe time-wise they might not match up to what kids are doing now, but if they were running now, I think they would be just fine.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, that was fun. Thank you. Well,
Sure.
I want to talk about the Stanford Invitational. I love that Invitational because it's an amazing college meet.
Right.
It's some really like you know, teams from all over the country come. But then I want to talk about the high school events. That's
Right.
also quite fun and interesting. It's on Friday and Saturday of this weekend. Do you mind if we go by day and go
Yeah,
3200?
go ahead.
Okay, so the 3200 is the first day on Friday. Who are some of the girls and boys that we should look for in the 3200?
Okay, so I'll throw a couple of historical stuff along the way. But so at Stanford, they used to have a 3,000 meters, and they changed to 3,200 in 2018. So the fastest entrant is Eleanor Raker from Galena. So you saw her run at Dublin, and she actually missed her PR by 0.03 seconds at Dublin. So she's as good as ever. And then Kinga Tchaikovska of Palo Alto. So it's interesting. Kinga's entered in
Three events.
all three distance races and potentially the DMR. So I'm
Wow.
not sure. She might do everything. She might pick a few things, but whatever she's in, she'll be very competitive.
Right.
She's a great closer. And then I think for the girls, and then the other one that might be kind of up there is Lily Montilla of Los Lomos. She broke 10:40 at Dangabor. So that's girls. The boys, so it's interesting. The meet record is 8:59 by Liam Anderson, who was NXN champion
Champion.
2018. So I think whoever ends up winning the race will be the new meet record holder. Because I mean, okay, so I have a few notes here. Let's see. So fastest guy is Brone Holman. So I think he got fifth at Dublin, and Eli won that race. So Fitch and Young, so the new Crystal Springs course record holder, he'll be in there. Ben Bowie
Your
for Crystal
athlete.
Springs, he broke 9 minutes last year at Nike Outdoor Nationals. And then let's see. And then Aidan Stephanopoulos, who won the 1600 at Dublin and then also got second behind Eli.
And he broke 9 minutes, is that right, at the Dublin?
Yeah. And then the other guy that's under nine is Yosef Berhan of Piedmont Hill.
Right.
So that's the first time he broke nine. So right now you have potentially five guys that have already broken nine. And normally it's an okay race because I think a lot of teams kind of run the DMR,
Right.
but if all those guys run, it should be a great race. And I think whoever wins will be the new meet record holder.
Wow. And then the DMR, I noticed that You know, Bellarmine Prep, when they won at Dublin, they're like, hey, we can run faster at Stanford. Yeah. So I imagine the boys are, the Bellarmine Prep are maybe yeah. favored. But on the girls' side, Campolindo that won it last year, I don't see them on the list at all.
Right. So I think originally they were entered, but they're not going to be running. They're on their spring break right now. Spring break's always interesting. Like we have ours coming up in a week and then we get 2 weeks off and it's kind of like Chris, the winter break during basketball.
Yes, right, right.
So the boys, I think it'll be interesting. So you have Jesuit will be in there.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I think they'll, and so the interesting part is that the Bellarmine coach, Patrick McChrystal, ran for Walt Lang at Jesuit.
Wow.
Oh, so, and those could be the top two teams
right.
battling it out. And Jesuit, I mean, they were the top California cross country team in the fall. I think they have most of the runners coming back next year. I mean, they're really talented.
Yes, they are
they
talented.
could run. They might take a shot. Bellarmine holds the meet record. I think, let's see, it's 10:03. I mean, that might be in play. And Patrick definitely loves relays. So his boys will be pumped up to run really fast in that race. I think those are the top two teams. And I think maybe like Vacaville and McClatchy might be the other two teams that might be in the mix. Well, I guess we'll be in there for a while, and then we'll see.
And what about the girls, since Campolindo's not going to be there?
Right. So I think if they run and all their girls run, I mean, Montgomery will be the favorite. So Montgomery.
Oh, yes.
And
I don't see them listed individually, so they're just going to go for the DMI.
Yeah, it sounds like, I mean, they could like shatter like the meet record.
Yeah,
I mean,
they've got three
it's
really good distance runners.
I mean, just being conservative, I mean, I could see them like going under 11:40 in the DMR. And apparently they have, somebody on my site posted that they have like a 54.400 runner. They have a 225 800 runner. They got a 457. And then you got Hannah Thompson who
could do anything.
Yeah. So it could be like them out in front. And then let's see, girls wise. So Palo Alto, if
yeah, they're deep. Yeah.
So they have two sub 5 minute and
right.
Kinga's gone under 450. So I don't know what their other legs will look like, but they'll be competitive. And I think Monte Vista will be competitive and Los Lomos. And, I believe they go fast heat first, but
yeah.
it should be a really competitive race.
That'd be fun. So the next morning, the 1600 kind of starts the meet, even all the college races too, I believe.
Yeah.
And who do you look in the girls 1600?
So let's see. So Kinga has the fastest like time. She ran 4:48 a couple years ago and she's running really well. She just set her PR in the 800. And like I said, she's really tough. And then Kylie Hornart of Prospect, she's run 4:51. And she'll also be doing the 800. Eleanor Raker from Galena, she'll be coming back and running the 16. So she won Dublin, went 4:52 there. And then Chloe De La Torre, who gave Eleanor Raker a pretty good race at Dublin. So I think those are the top competitors in that field.
And then what do you see in the boys?
So the boys, I mean, more than likely it's going to be a repeat victory. So, Evan Noonan will be back. He's the meet record holder. He'll be going to Stanford next year. And so let's see, boys 1600. So Evan's really tough.
I think Aiden will be in there and he ran a pretty fast.
Aiden's been running really well. I think he kind of had a little off year last year. I don't know. He might've been dealing with some injuries and some physical issues, but he seems to be really strong. He won Dublin. And so Aiden will be in there. Aaron Sagaraju of Doherty Valley will be up there. He finished seventh in state last year.
Right.
And Eli Fitchin Young is also supposed to be in the 1600. Okay. So I'm guessing he'll run both. And with them being on different days, you know,
Right.
pretty sure they'll come back and double, and you know, Aiden doubled at Dublin on the same day, no problem. So I think those are going to be the top guys in that
Be
field.
good. And
Yeah.
then the 800 and the girls, there's a lot of girls in there that are really pretty fast.
Yeah, so let's see. Girls 800.
I mean, Kinga may run that, may not. We'll find out, right?
Yeah, so she PR'd earlier this year, ran 212, and then her teammates run 213, and then Kylie Hornart has the fastest time. She ran 208. She ran 208 last year at the state trials,
Right.
and she was CCS champion, got seventh at state. She was second at Dublin. So Hannah Thompson decided to run the 800 at Dublin.
Right.
So that made for a very competitive race. And then Sabrina Zanetto of St. Francis, she ran 210 as a sophomore, and it looks like she's, you know, definitely like coming back and running really strong. She actually, I think at one point had the lead at Dublin, and then was surpassed, but
Yeah,
she
I was
will.
my job was to take pictures of the turn, and she was
Yeah.
in front.
Yeah. So she ran 211,
Yeah.
and you know, she's really strong. So I think those are the four top competitors.
And the boys, you might have a repeat of what happened at Dublin.
Yeah, that was interesting. So you had so Jackson Hine, you know, he I guess he thought he was just gonna run away from the field, and you know, a couple of guys mowed him down. So Lucas Alberts ended up winning. I mean, he, you know, Jesuit, you talk about, you know, like last year they get this freshman who runs 154,
Yeah.
and this year he's improved to 152. He won Dublin, so I mean, he finishes really well, so he's got to be up there. Jackson Hine will be there, you know, maybe he might change his tactics a little bit at Stanford. And then the other one to watch out for is Evan Gardner of Homestead. He ran 152 a couple years ago as a sophomore, and
Okay.
last year he won CCS again, and I guess didn't run as well at state, but he's definitely really tough. And the CCS boys senior class, I mean, it's I can't remember, there was like a group of runners that so you have Eli Fichenion, you have Landon Pretry, you have Carson Headland, you have Miles Cook at Sacred Heart Cathedral, Evan Gardner's up there. So there's like this really strong group of senior boys who are very talented, and you know, and they're all over the place. You know, you had like three of them that ran really fast at Crystal Springs. You had a CCS 1600 champion last year. You had a
Your
guy
athlete Benjamin, didn't he
who,
run 406 last year?
yeah, he ran that at CCS, and then Landon ran 848, and you know, like it's an
Yeah, I want to
incredible
explain
class.
to our Washington, Oregon listeners and viewers is that the California state meet is not done and you don't have divisions. It's all
Right.
one big party, so it's not easy to snag a spot.
Yeah, so I coach and teach at a school with 350 kids, but I love it. It's like I wouldn't want divisions, you know, like I appreciate divisions in cross country, and it works with what we have. But in track, first of all, if you make the state meet, you're really good.
Yeah.
And if you can get on the podium at state, you're really good. So I've never, I mean, we go to Dublin, and we'll go to Arcadia, and we'll go to Stanford. And I never say anything about like, hey, we're a small school and all this. Like, you're either good or you're not. And that's a really cool part with California.
Yeah, that's really cool. Well, I'm looking forward to coming to Stanford. And my wife says, pack warm clothing. I was there last year. The daytime heat was great, but when I was there for the college 10,000 and 5,000,
Yeah.
and I happened to be at Dublin too. I'm very embarrassed by this. I should know better. A guy from Oregon should know, dress warm for
Yeah.
California, but
I think last year we got rained on in like six different cities. Stanford was crazy last year. I
it
remember we
rained.
were under a tent and it was just coming down like
Yeah.
crazy. It rained at Arcadia, it rained at Dangabaugh, It rained like I don't like so many different meats. I think it rained today here. I think we're okay with the rain,
Okay.
but yeah, dress warmly.
Hey, well, dress warmly. Well, Albert, I sure appreciate you coming on and bringing your expertise. And I look forward to seeing you on this weekend at Stanford. And good luck to your team
Oh,
the
thank
rest of
you.
the way. You have some outstanding athletes, and we'll see them this weekend and then at Arcadia and hopefully at the state meet.
All right. Thank you
Thanks a
very much.
lot. We want to thank Albert Kawana for coming on and doing a great job of telling us what's going to happen at Stanford and learn a little bit more about his team and his success there. And also, we learned about his website, the Cross Country Express. It's super interesting. It's not just Bay Area kids. You'll have interviews of coaches throughout the country, and just he links to other really great articles too. It's a great resource if you love distance running and cross country. This weekend, I'll be at the Stanford Invitational. This was my third year going to the Stanford Invitational. The last previous 2 years, it was during Oregon spring break, so I would go Friday and Saturday. It was my I'm a teacher, so I didn't have school on Friday, and so that was really fun. But this year, Oregon spring break has ended last week, and Stanford is not on Oregon spring break. So a complication with the schedules. The coaches know this when they try to schedule. Things shift 1 week early, 1 week later. If you watched one of our earliest podcast episodes, I talked about my top five things I'm looking forward to in track, and one of them was the Oregon Relays. And I did not realize the Oregon Relays moved 2 weeks earlier, and I already had bought my airline tickets for Stanford, and so I will be missing the Oregon Relays. I'm going to try my hardest to find photos for you guys, so you can have those for you, so you can get those this weekend. I feel terrible about that, but that's how it goes. But I'll be at Stanford this weekend, and hopefully we'll get some people out to the Oregon Relays and get some pictures done there too. I'll miss that meet. I always love that meet. Please again subscribe to our YouTube channel if you can. It's pretty easy to do, and follow us on Apple Podcast and also on Spotify. And always remember, whether at Stanford or the Oregon Relays or up in Washington, the West Coast is the best coast. See you next time.